if they're satisfied with us, mm-hmm. they will turn around and issue us another contract. If not, they'll go out for other people. Mm-hmm. This is statewide now. This is by region, northeast region, central region, and southern region.
Well, now, is it? You said you were a farmer.
Right.
So this is not a full-time job.
This is a part-time. I also work for Occidental as a maintenance supervisor. Mm-hmm. And I farm and do this on a side, too.
Right. But you were saying before we started recording that you work a certain area.
And we have seven counties. We go from Jefferson County to the west, to Duval County to the east, and to Alachua County to the south. We have everything in that area there. Baker County, Union, Lafayette, Hamilton, Columbia, Suwannee County, and sometimes we go out of our area. It just depends on where, you know, the complaints are. Mm-hmm. We're gone most of the time in the summertime, four nights a week somewhere.
Well, now, you said to where the complaints are. You just respond to complaints then?
Just to complain alligators only. Only what the Game Commission sends us on. We don't have a license to hunt them at will. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of paperwork that goes through that.
Yeah.
Somebody calls in a complaint about an alligator, they'll make sure it's a valid complaint, mm-hmm. and then send us a permit in the mail or call us verbal, depending on the emergency. You know, if it's they have to have him tonight or tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we go after him.
Uh-huh. Well, now, are there a lot of alligators in that area that you cover?
Everybody owns an alligator, they say now. They don't know it, but they got one somewhere. There's quite a few. We take less than 1% of the yearly hatch. That's what we're killing. Mm-hmm. And 10% of the hatch, they will live to be, you know, a grown alligator. But there's quite a few around now, especially in the Suwannee River.
In the river.
Oh yeah, plenty of them.
Well, this one that you're interested in giving us the dog tags from was mm-hmm. from this one.
Right. It was 1.5 miles north of the Big Shoals. He was I think Lamar Cheshire called in a complaint. He got after him while he was fishing up there. And I tried to run him out of the river, run him down. Anyway, we had to crank his boat up and leave, from what I understand about it. Mm-hmm. He called a game commission in, and they issued a complaint. We went two nights later to get him. Mm-hmm. He was in the exact same place that mm-hmm. where he had got after Lamar.
Mm-hmm. Did you get him in the river?
Yes, sir. He was...
How'd you do it?
Well, first thing, you got to have a good boat and a kicker. A troll motor, and years ago they used to shoot them. Mm-hmm. They won't let us shoot them. We either have to catch them alive or take a gig, a special type gig that we've perfected over the years, that goes just underneath the hide, mm-hmm. and turns in a horizontal position and holds him. It's same thing as noosing something, but you have to use this type gig because he'll tear a noose up. Mm-hmm. And you have a long pole that it's on the end of it, slips up on the end of it, and it's 50 feet of nylon cord tied to the gig, and then a bleach jug or a antifreeze jug, any kind of plastic jug that'll float. And you got a headlight on, and on top of the boat you have a platform built on front of it that you can stand up on.
Sort of like a deck.
Right, it's a deck with a railing around it to keep you from falling out. Mm-hmm. And you shine up the river, going up the river, till you find, you know, an alligator's eye. It looks like a marble, but it's real bright orange-red type looking, if you see one of them. And you have to ease right up. You shut your engine off and get on the troll motor, and you just ease along till you get right up to him. And if it's, you know, the size gator that you're supposed to be, you take him. If you don't, you go on down the river till you come to the exact gator you want. And we were going up the river about 2:30 in the morning, and we heard this tremendous splash, and evidently he was on there's a little sandbar type deal right there that he was laying on, I guess, and heard the motor. And when he hit the river, I turned the light on, and looked up the river, and it was him. You could tell it was a huge gator. So he just started swimming up the river. And we took to him kind of with the troll motor going, you know, easing up behind him, and he kept turning and looking at us. And he acted like he wanted maybe to fight there at first, but he kept right on going, and we got within 15 feet of him. And I gigged him with this harpoon. And, of course, he wet me in front of the boat and everything when he made his roll and splash. And I estimated him at that time to be anywhere between 10 and 11 feet, just a guess. But I knew he was, you know, real big because I could see his head. So he went down, and he took the 50 feet of line right off the front of the boat, and the jug and everything just disappeared. You know, we didn't know what had happened, you know. I said, well, he's hung on some rocks or something. And we sat there, and finally about 200 yards up the river, I seen the jug pop up. So we went to it, and I got the jug and started pulling a rope up, and he was so strong that he just turned and started pulling the boat. Well, that's a 9-horsepower kicker on the back of the boat, and Hoyle had the kicker in reverse, full reverse, and I had the rope, and we were still going forward. The gator was pulling us, boat and all. And I asked him, I said, have you got the engine in reverse? He said, well, I've been in reverse, you know. We were still going down the river. So I turned it loose where he, you know, try to wear him out. And, well, we gigged him about 3:30, and we fought the alligator until 5 o'clock before we killed him. But you had to pull him up. And we had what you call a bang stick they let us use. It's the same instrument a diver uses to kill a shark with.
Yeah.
And you pull him up beside the boat, and you try to hit him behind the head with it, you know, to kill him. And he was so big and strong, I couldn't hold him, you know, just myself to try to hold him upside the boat. So we finally got a shot at him about 3 hours later after him pulling us all over the river and up and down the river, and we got him, we killed him, and came the problem of trying to get him out. So we carried him to a sandbar and got out, and we started to pull him out of the river. And my cousin and I, which he weighs 280 pounds, he's a big man. We couldn't get nothing but his head and his front shoulders, or his feet, and part of his stomach out. That's as far as we could carry him out of the water. So we had to leave him, and we went back to the truck and woke up some people and got them to go back down there and help us get him. And it took 7 people to get him up the riverbank. And we estimated him to weigh 700 pounds. He was 11 feet 10 inches long. And he had, of course, we checked the contents of their stomachs to see, you know, what they eat. The alligator, they're really doing a lot of experiments with him because they don't really know nothing about him too much. They know he's left over from prehistoric times. So when I cut him open after we had skinned him, I found his dog tags in him. And they were from hunting dogs. The only thing that was left of them was the name tags. One of them was, let's see, Jackie Register, 2 of Bailey Ogman's, and 1 of W.E. Bishop's from Lake City, and another one, Tom Browning from Lake City. And there was one more. I can't remember the other one, but I've got the tag.
No, I can't. I don't remember.
See, Bishop, Browning, Auburn. There were 6 of them.
I know. Browning, we'd heard there were 7.
No, there were 6. Jackie Register had lost that dog 6 years ago. And the tag was, that's how long the dog had been gone. And I'd checked with some of them, and they had lost them 2 years ago, 3 years ago, some as high as a year ago. That was the only thing. He had completely digested everything but the brass, the leather and the D-ring and the latch and everything were all gone. Mm. So,
could you find anything else in there?
He had a few lighter knots in him and a couple of rocks and some sand, liver sand. But that was it. That was all of him.
Is that common to find lighter knots?
Oh, yeah. There's an old saying about it that they eat laddered knots and things like that to keep their stomach from shrinking when they hibernate. But I think that whatever they catch when they eat it, whatever they catch when they grab it, everything goes down. It could be a piece of a limb, a stick, a rock, or a turtle, whatever they, you know, is in their mouth. When he kills it, it goes down then. That's where I think they get, because I found hickory nuts in their stomach, and if I had one had a trot line inside of him, he'd eat a trot line, and just, you know, they'll eat anything. They got a digestive tract you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. Well, now, you said this one wasn't exactly the biggest.
Right. He was the heaviest, but, well, he was you would say he was the biggest as far as bulk goes, but he wasn't the longest. Mm-hmm. The longest was 12'9". He came out of Watertown Lake in Lake City. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't as heavy as gator as this one here was.
Mm. Well, now, I'm curious about this harpoon. Mm-hmm. It must be pretty substantial to hold in there with all that fighting.
Well, it's made from a piece of stainless steel, 1.25 inches long, 3/8 of an inch diameter. And it's very sharp on one end. Mm-hmm. It has a hole drilled in it, horizontal. And we use a piece of a cable. Of course, we tried all kind of stainless steel wire and everything else, but we finally came upon a piece of a cable that would work. It's plaited cable, and it's really a piece of cable from a hood latch off a Plymouth car, is what it is.
Did you make it yourself?
We made it ourselves. Huh. And it's silver soldered in there. And then right in the very end of the gig is a hole that's drilled in there where you can stick it up on another piece of a, where we had to go to using a part of a whip antenna from a CB that doesn't bend. It took us 2 years to perfect this thing because we tried all kind of different things, and they'd usually work for a couple of times and he'd tear it up. You know, a gator'd bite the pole in half or bend it or break it. So what we come up with now, we've been using for 2 years and we've never had no problem.
What does anybody else use?
They use the same thing what we use, but we should give them the plans on it. Everybody had this problem when they first started the program. See, they won't let you shoot them.
Right.
We either have to catch him alive or, kill him. And they don't want you to kill him in front of the public. And so we end up catching 90% of them. And now, since we can sell the meat to the restaurants now, so we had to put in a process house, and we come under the state of Florida, the health departments, and so now we'd rather catch him alive because we can process him when we get ready to, instead of having to process him that night. Only on exceptions like this big alligator that come out, we had to kill him. There's no way we could have caught him. We probably could have, but I would have been 2 days later trying to kill him. You know, there's no telling where we'd ended up in the river.
But. Well, you said too that when you were following him upriver, do you always go upriver?
Wherever he goes. He was swimming upriver.
But, I mean, to find him, you wouldn't go downriver, or would
Well,
you?
Depending on where you can put your boat in, we usually like to go upriver. Mm-hmm. If we don't find him then, we can float back down real quiet, and then we can, you know, you'll probably see him. See, they're wild. They hear a boat coming, and they'll sink and get back.
It was hard to sneak up on them, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. It's very hard to sneak up on them. Very hard.
But, anyway, you said that when you were following him upriver, that he acted like he wanted to fight at first.
Mm-hmm. Sure, he'll stop and swell up in the water and open his mouth and turn around and look at you. And, you know, at night, it's kind of a wild looking deal, looking at you. You don't know whether you want to gig him or not. But we've had some fighters before. Mm-hmm. I've been turned over. Upside down, oh yeah.
Can you tell me about some of those experiences? I mean, you're a big man.
Well,
have you ever actually grappled with one?
Oh yeah. I've never been bitten yet, but most all of your other control agents, they used to call us trappers, now they call us control agents. I don't know why, but that's something the state's come up with. All the rest of them in this region has been bitten. Columbus White is the man in Gainesville. He lost 3 fingers on his right hand 2 years ago from a 10-foot alligator. Dave Maddox from uh, Green Cove Springs, I think he's lost a finger. And the two people from Jacksonville, I believe they were bitten 3 years ago. You know, it's something that you have to keep your guard up on. You just, if you let your guard down with them, you're caught. You really, you have to really know what you're doing to. The closer you stay to him, yeah. A lot of people, when they see an alligator, they run. Well, the closer you are to him, the less you're going to get hurt. I mean, if you're 4 feet from him, he can really hurt you. And if he ever hits you with a tail, he'll slap you around into his mouth. That's what they call feeding theirself. He'll run at you, but if you're, say you're standing there and it's a 12-foot alligator and his head's here and you're behind him, he can hit you with that tail and knock you to the front of his mouth. It's just like a clamshell. He's got you. And he don't turn you loose. They've had, I'm not sure, but I think it's 12 or 13 alligator attacks in the state of Florida in the last 5 or 6 years. The last one was at Hanna Park in Mayport, Florida last year, where that boy got caught by the 10-foot alligator.
Well, if you get closer than 4 feet, then what happens?
If you don't know what you're doing, you're just, the alligator's one and the hunter's zero. He's faster than the eye. He's the same way with a snake. He's nothing but a big muscle. His heart is the size of an acorn.
The size of a what?
Acorn. It's a little small heart. One time, the University of Illinois, they wanted some alligator hearts to, you know, do some research on. So they sent a letter down to the game commission. They were going to pay $4.50 a pound for alligator hearts. I told Hoyle, I said, boy, we're going to get rich, you know. I said, we're really going to make a lot of money, because I was thinking an alligator heart was the size of a beef heart or, from out of a hog or something. So we killed a 9-foot alligator, and, boy, we skinned him out and opened him up, and I spent 35 minutes hunting his heart, and I have yet to find it. So we finally found it the next day. It's a little piece of skin, just about the size of an acorn. And of course, when he's not breathing, it's just flat. It would probably take 3,000 alligators to make a pound. So we discarded that idea. We sell the meat to the restaurants and turn the hide back to the game commission. We get 70% of the hide money and that's stolen at a state auction, and we get all the percentage of the meat sales.
Well, let's see. There's so many things I want to ask you. But I want to go back to being 4 foot from an alligator. I grew up in South Florida, and mm-hmm. I had an old fellow tell me, and I never was sure whether he told me, you know, just for fun or, you know, mm-hmm. was telling me some good advice, that if you ever got caught by an alligator and he had a hold of you, that the only thing to do was to stick your thumbs in his eyes to make him let go.
That won't make him let go.
Is there anything that will?
No, only him. Uh-huh. If he's a reptile, if he decides to, when they catch something, they catch him and either carry you to deep water or he starts rolling. And whatever he's bitten, he twists out. Your arm or your leg or part of your stomach, whatever. That's how they do that. There was two of my cousins. We'd always heard that you could, you know, get loose from one if you got bit by hitting him in the stomach as hard as you can. And they had caught one over there in Jacksonville one night, or was trying to catch one, and they were trying to catch him alive. And he had reached down to catch his mouth, and he stuck these 4 fingers in his mouth, and he was just a 4-foot alligator. And he told his brother, he said, he's got me. They eased him up in the boat, and they turned him over, and Sonny said, now, hit him right in the stomach, hard as you can. He said, and then he'll turn me loose, and when he... Roland drew back, hit him in the stomach hard. He said, don't hit him no more, don't hit him no more. He said he thought he was going to bite his fingers off. He said he bit harder.
Huh.
So really, there's nothing you can do until he decides to turn loose. The more you struggle, the tighter he bites. And his power is awesome. We've had him bite holes in our boats, bite 2-inch poles in half. And it's just, you wouldn't believe it. And his teeth, once he breaks a tooth out, he grows another one. There's one right underneath it. He comes right back within 2 weeks. Yeah, it don't take him long. But the only place you can kill him is right behind his eyes. His brain's the size of a walnut, and that's it. Mm-hmm. He's a cold-blooded reptile. He has one main artery down his back and some to his legs, and that's the extent of it. He doesn't have the blood vessels more.
Hmm. Well, how do you stay out of the way? I mean, you've managed for a good many years.
Well, you kind of have to know what you're doing. You just have to know what he's capable of, and every one of them's kind of a different... they're like people, you know. You get some that are kind of easy to catch, and then you get some that are bad. And you just have to know. You have a sequence, you know. First thing, you get a rope on him.
Yeah.
When you catch him on land. The second thing, you try to get that mouth caught and his head pulled back up over his back, because you put him in a semi-paralysis, then he can't do too much. The only thing he can do is twist to the right or to the left. He can't, you know, bite you or... But if he can get loose, he's got you. Mm-hmm. So you just tape his mouth and you pull him up to a tree, and then you step up real close to him and keep him from hitting you with the tail, and you pull his back feet up over him and tie those, and you go to the front feet and tie those up over his back. And you've got yourself a caught alligator.
Huh. Have you ever tried to wrestle one the way they do in some of these shows?
No. There's a big difference between the wild alligator mm-hmm. and the tame alligator, what we as a hunter call a tame alligator, like you'd see in the San Augustine Zoo. That alligator that they're wrestling, it's wrestled every hour or every 2 hours whenever they have a show. And he's used day in and day out. He gets used to a certain extent now of a human handling him. A wild alligator will not tolerate that at all. He'll hurt you if you try that. This alligator wrestling, they call it. Mm-hmm. That's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I wonder.
And I've killed about 300 alligators in 5 years.
Uh-huh.
I am not wrestling no alligator. You can't. Well, a 5-foot alligator is stronger than I am. He's just a big muscle.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see him, they'll pull his head up and stick their chin under his mouth like that and stick their hands out. What you've done is you have him in a semi-paralysis right there. When you pull that head back up over him like that, he's paralyzed. So that's why they can stick their hands out and, you know, put on a big show. It's just, everybody doesn't know that.
Yeah.
But that alligator, he's used to, now, if I put an alligator in there, I guarantee you there's none of them in there bothering one of my alligators.
Yeah.
All you do is wear the alligator down. You got to wear him down because he'll give up after a little while. And then you can do something right then. You got about 10 minutes maybe that you can handle him, like tie him up, catch him or something like that. After that, it's to do all over again. And if you tie him up and leave him and come back in 15 minutes, he's just as wild as he was when you started with him. But they kind of give up to a certain extent. Crocodile, he never gives up.
Have you ever worked with a crocodile?
No, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I do not want to.
I'm interested, actually, that the tape recorder wasn't on when you were talking earlier. I had the pause button on, and mm-hmm. I didn't notice it, so I didn't get any of what you were telling me about how you got into it earlier. And, you know, not so much from your own experience, but, I mean, growing up in this area, which you said you did,
mm-hmm.
What do... The young, I guess it's only young men who go after alligators.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there any peer pressure, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Talking about, hey, let's go out alligator hunting and stuff like that. I mean, is that part of the reason people
get into it? Well, when I got into it, I was making $15 a week.
Mm-hmm.
There just wasn't no money around, and alligator hides were bringing... $3 a foot. And boy, you know, you just say, golly, I'm going to get rich. You know, but of course, everybody else is hunting alligators too. Uh-huh. And they, I don't know, it's, you just had to be, you know, good. And we used to go down to San Pedro Bay and hunt them, and the Okefenokee Swamp. We'd slip in there, and we made $150, $200 a week back when I was 16 years old, 15 years old. But those days, you hunted a lot different. Now we had, today we just go right out there, like we pull right up, turn the lights on. In those days, you didn't turn a light on very much. Yeah. You turn it on and you see him, you'd wade to him and shoot him and dive in and get him. Or feel around with your toes on the bottom of the lake until you found him, because when you shoot him, he sinks.
Yeah.
Right then, so you have to find him then.
Did people, I mean, you shoot him and he sinks and he's dead, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you,
you
kill
hope
him.
So.
If you kill him, there used to be an old saying, you wouldn't follow too many shooters, you know. And if you hunted with a guy and you knew, you know, if he was a good shot, it's just like me and you. If we went alligator hunting at night and you shot a gator and said he's dead, I wouldn't believe you. I wouldn't go in there after him.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't know, you know.
Right.
And I'd be walking around there, and before you know it, I'd have my leg about up to my knee in an alligator's mouth.
Well, that's right. I mean, somebody shoots, and it seems to me the gator would just naturally go underwater anyway,
right,
whether he's hit or not.
Right, right. That's correct. If you know a lot of times when you kill one stone dead, because he'll roll up on his side and you can see me a quiver a little bit, and then he'll sink right down. But a lot of times you shoot him and you can blow the whole top of his head off and you don't never see him no more. You don't know whether he's dead or not. So the guy that's shooting, you know, he can tell you, say, hey, I hit him. You know I killed him.
Yeah.
So I'll go in.
But you don't follow too many shooters.
That's right. Just maybe one.
Yeah.
Maybe two. Maybe two people.
So there's a distinction, or used to be anyway, between somebody who is there to do the shooting and somebody who's there to
get the gator. Yeah, we trade around, though. Everybody, nobody did all the getting all the time. I'd do some of the shooting, too.
Uh-huh.
But usually they'd start you off as, you know, you'd skin them. And we'd skin them right there in the woods, wherever you killed them at. You'd pull them up to the bank in the swamp or wherever, and you'd skin him.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. And then you'd bring nothing but the hide out.
Let me flip this thing over.
Okay.